Well, hey there. Today on the podcast, we're talking about how to make disciples in three easy steps. So you can find this topic on our website in the training section. And we're on the phone today with Ross and Tracy and John and AJ. And we're going to unpack this together so that because we've been doing this. Everyone on this call has been making disciples using the Pursue God tools. And we want to make sure that podcast listeners can know how to do it. So Tracy, why don't we start with this? What are the three easy steps that we're talking about with the Pursue God resources?
Yeah, so this is speaking to what the mentor does. And this is, there's three phases that we talk about. We talk about that you invite someone into a discipleship mentoring relationship. Then you spend time investing in them over a series of weeks and months, choosing various topics, kind of going through the website and finding things that are of interest to them. And then eventually you want to move them into the empowering phase where you train them to be able to go walk and help the next person.
All right, good. So it's invite, invest, and empower. And John, I thought maybe right now it'd be good for you to give us an example, because I know you've been doing this really for the last few months, and it's really changed the way that you make disciples. So walk us through, like, you don't have to use actual names, but walk us through how you've done this with some of the guys at your church, some of the people at your church.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, I just like to say it's really exciting to be inviting people to something that you actually understand what you're inviting them to. I've been in a few, tried a few failed discipleship mentoring relationships before that I've been invited into, or I've invited others into, and didn't really understand exactly what I was inviting them to.
Right.
It's just been fantastic, really empowered me because I know exactly what the target is.
So John, when you invite them, do you tell them what you're inviting them into, and how do you say it?
Not necessarily. I typically start with that in the first meeting. I've used anything from very direct methods. I mean, some of the training goes into this on how to ask people, some of the other topical videos. And so, you know, there's low hanging fruit out there, people that you have relationships with, other young men that are hungry to be discipled. So I've asked them just very directly. Hey, is anybody mentoring you? Is anybody discipling you? No. Hey, are you interested? Is that something you're interested in doing? Yes. Can I do it with you? Yes. Fantastic. Let me send you a topic and then we'll get together and I'll show you, I'll tell you all about it. So that's one way. Another way is that I'm just so excited about it that I'll just explain what it is to somebody, and then kind of within that explanation, I'll throw out there, hey, is this something you'd be interested in doing? And they go, yeah. And so, okay, well, let's get started. Let me tell you how this works. I'll shoot you a video. You learn about it, and then we'll get together and we'll talk about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, John. Let me throw in another one that related to that I've done. Depending on the nature of the relationship and whether I really know where that person is at or not, I've invited someone just to have coffee with me or have lunch. And then in the course of our conversation, I've tried to find a topic that they're interested in. And then I'll say, hey, I know a resource. I send them the link. We'll read it, look at it together. And then after we do one sample, then I'll talk to them about, hey, would you like to do this now on a regular basis?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Kind of ease into it. Ease into it for someone who maybe might be intimidated by it or doesn't really know what I'm talking about if I use the language.
Yeah, John, it sounds to me like you're more of an extrovert and a salesman. I know, Ross, you're more of an introvert. So I think everyone's invite might be a little bit different based on, you know, the person you're inviting or your own personality, your own temperament.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
So, John.
For sure. And I have...
So John, back to you. When you're doing the investing then, so now you're covering topics Are you typically doing a series with people, or are you picking a topic one week and they pick it the next week? How have you done that second thing, the investing phase?
I've done it both ways. So somebody that's kind of in that second leg of they've already trusted Jesus and now they're living their life to honor God. And I know that they're probably not doing the third leg, which is helping someone else to honor God. That person, I've been invited into the training and say, hey, let's do this training together, or even handed some other guys off to each other already and said, hey, why don't you guys look at this together? But in other instances where I was, for example, mentoring a young man this summer, I start off by saying, hey, why don't you pick the topic? We start off by going out to lunch. I introduced him to just the website. Gave him just the simple nuts and bolts around it. So why don't you start by just picking a topic? And he's like, okay, let's do it. And then we just traded off. Worked out really great.
Yeah, that's good. What about the empowering phase? You were saying earlier to me before we got on this podcast that there's a guy that you've actually brought all the way around, and now you're in that last phase with him. Talk about that so that we can get, you know, our listeners can get a vision for doing that in their own discipling relationships.
Sure. So I was just mentioning that as you're investing in someone else, it's kind of like a two for one because you're modeling for that person how it works. So then when it comes to the empowering phase, they've seen it, they've done it with you, and it really just involves you encouraging them to make the ask and then following up with them. So I had that happen with one of the first guys that I went to the training with, and he had asked a few guys early on, and it kind of fell through, but we just kept encouraging, and one of our mottos was, hey, let's have high hopes but no expectations. I mean, we know that God, this is important to God. This is the most important thing you could be doing, is making disciples. So we don't believe that God is going to leave you hanging if you're willing to step out in faith and actually do it. So
yeah.
We just kept high hopes and I kept encouraging him. And then we had our final training on Monday night, and he shared with me that the week prior he invited someone into a discipling relationship, and he's actually starting out tomorrow night.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Really, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. So for you then, John, that'll eventually then mean that your relationship shifts because now you're like his coach, you know, you're his encourager and his coach as he starts discipling other people. That'll probably change your relationship with him at some point down the road, right?
Oh, without a doubt. And that's how we left it on Monday night. You know, I said, hey, now I'm really excited to follow up with you and see how this is going. And he said, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and even today I just shot him a text and said, hey, I'm praying for your brother and can't wait to hear about it. So yeah, just it's great.
Yeah, that's good. You know, you're right, because if the greatest thing we can do is help someone pursue God, then when we tell someone that and then they're out there doing it, if we're not encouraging, you know, and following up, then, you know, they might not really believe that it's the greatest thing that they could do, right? You want to always be reaching out to the guy that you're empowering and say, hey, you can do this. Don't give up on it. You know, keep going. I'm praying for you. So I have to remind myself to do that with the disciple makers that I've made.
Yeah, for sure.
AJ, why don't you talk about this really, really quick for student groups? Because I think it's still the same three things, right? You have to invite kids into your student group. Then you have to invest in them for a period of time using the topics. And then at some point, you want to empower them. So how does the invite look for the student group that you run?
So the first student group that I've run so far was – it started last year, and the kids that I'm mentoring are 12 and 13 years old, and they don't necessarily have phones. So the way I did it was I kind of invited them through my parents. Like, my parents contacted the parents of the kids that I wanted to mentor, and they kind of, you know, helped me through it a little bit. But for the student group that I'm starting now, which is at the school, actually, it's different because I can just invite them right at school. Like, it's a face-to-face thing. I don't have to text them or anything like that. Like, I see them every day anyways.
Yeah. And is it like what John was saying? Are you inviting them? How do you articulate the invitation in the hallway?
I really just say, you know, because it's a group, so it's a little different because it's not just me that's leading it. Like, I have a co-leader with me. So I'm just like, hey, why don't you come to our Flex Talk student group? And if they ask me what it is, then I just tell them straight up.
Yeah, so what do you tell them? Do you just say, well, it's where we get together and we just talk about conversations?
Yeah, I say, like, we talk about life, you know, we play games and we have fun.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, and then what about and really talk about Flex Talk for a second, because I know you go to a public school, and so you're actually not inviting them to a Pursue God group. You're inviting them to a Flex Talk group. What's the difference?
Yeah, so, I mean, I definitely couldn't bring Pursue God into the schools. That would get shut down really quickly. So the easiest way that we figured out was use Flex Talk, because there's no Bible verses. It's all value-based. And so the way I do it is, like, when we start off, I'm not going to get them right into a super deep, like, intentional topic, because that could possibly turn people away pretty quickly. Like, the goal is to develop a relationship so that you can get into those topics. So what I do is I just start off with the strangest video I can find on the website. Like, there's one on, like, opium or something. Like, I don't even know what it was. But, like, a fun video that doesn't really have anything to do with values or anything, but that we can talk about and have a good, fun conversation.
Yeah, that's good. Now, so then the empowering part is a little harder for you because, and have you done that yet? You've invited, you've started investing, you've got a couple student groups that you're running now. Have you done any empowering yet with any of your students?
Yeah, so with my first student group, I haven't done anything yet. I've only been with them for a year, so they're not quite ready to go out on their own yet. I mean, at the end of this year, I'm planning on, you know, empowering them to do it.
Yeah.
But that one's going to be a little different. My student group at the schools is going to be much, much, much easier, because the way it's going to work is I'm going to find kids in the group and be like, hey, I want you to lead next time. And just start kind of putting them into it. And then if I have to, on my own, bring them through the training series, that'd be a really easy way to get them ready.
Yeah, good. That's good. That's helpful for students listening to the podcast. Tracy, I want you to answer this question. It's question 5 from the topic online. Answer this for women. What are some challenges you've faced in working at becoming a disciple maker? And what's a practical step toward overcoming the challenge? How would you answer that? What's the biggest challenge when it comes to mentoring or discipling women?
Well, the response I get from a lot of women that I mentor is just, am I ready? Am I capable? What if they ask questions and I don't know the answer? So to me, it's kind of dispelling the myth that mentoring means you've got everything figured out and you know every answer. And so the way I've been combating that is through practicing with women. And as I mentor them and as I'm training them, I'll have them lead conversations just in the context of our relationship to help them to see how easy it is that they can lead a conversation, that the video really sets it up, the questions are right there, and kind of build their confidence before I release them in a mentoring relationship with somebody else. And then, of course, I think for a lot of people, another thing is just time. Feeling like, do I have time to do this? Like, how much time do I have to invest? You know, I think for people out there listening, when you think about what does it mean to invest in someone? Well, it doesn't mean you have to spend 4 hours on the phone every night. It doesn't mean even that you meet every week. It can be a, you know, bi-monthly thing. For some of my mentoring relationships, it's a once a month thing because of time constraints. So you know, I think for a lot of people to think, well, gee, am I supposed to be on call for this person all the time? No, I mean, it's within appropriate boundaries. And, you know, if you have an opportunity, hopefully we all care enough about people to say, I can make time.
Right. Yeah. I always like to ask people, well, how many TV shows do you watch every week? You know,
yeah,
like,
right.
Can you, like, you're not going to come to the end of your life and say, oh man, I wish I watched more TV, more Netflix, you know,
right.
You're going to say, I wish I helped more people. And so I always try to encourage people, like, it really is. And in my week, I mentor a half dozen people every week, just throughout every single week. And I'm always trying to get them through the circle and empower them to go do it with somebody else. And it's by far the most fulfilling thing that I ever do in my week. I love it. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
I think you said it like this. It's a lifestyle. You know, disciple making is a lifestyle, right? It's something that you just, it's just, I'm committed to it. It's what I do because I'm a follower of Jesus. And I think it's what Jesus wants all of us to do.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah. Also, I think it's important that there's a goal in mind, and this, that, you know, that when you're mentoring somebody, this isn't going to go on forever. I mean, now the relationship, it doesn't need to stop. They can continue to be friends and brothers in Christ and encourage one another. But you're trying to get to a point where you are to, you know, empower someone else to go do this. And I think that's important for people to understand that too, that, oh, I'm not doing this forever with you.
Yeah. John, that's a good point. And I was going to ask this question. Maybe Pastor Ross, you can shed some light on this, because one of the questions people have asked over the years with these resources is when do I know that, when am I done? How do I know when I'm done? Ross, how would you answer that?
Well, how do I know when I'm done mentoring somebody is basically when they're mentoring somebody else. And, you know, again, as you pointed out earlier, Brian, you know, when you're handing off, you're empowering someone to go full circle and they're mentoring somebody else, you don't end the relationship, and you're still available to them. You know, because they're going to have challenges that they're going to face, they're going to need encouragement, but the relationship will definitely change. Now, here's a challenging one. My wife's been mentoring somebody who has not really grasped the idea of going full circle. And so she's not really willing to take it the next step. And so my wife is trying to figure out how to change the ground rules of the relationship so that, you know, in essence, to kind of let this woman go. But she's kind of done there, because she knows she's done, because the woman she's been working with is not interested in going full circle.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've experienced that many times already in some of my mentoring relationships. And now I think I'm getting a little bit better at identifying who wants to help someone else. So I'm a little bit better at investing in the people that want to invest in someone else. I used to just invest in anyone who would take me up on it. But a lot of those people just want to be leeches. They just want to be consumers. And they want you to pour into them. And they're not interested in helping anyone else. And remember, Jesus in Matthew 4, he led with this. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so his intention was to make them disciple makers from the beginning. I wonder if Peter said, no, I'm not interested in making fishers of men. I wonder what Jesus would have done. I think Jesus would have said, okay, well, then you're not
okay,
the one.
See ya. Okay? Yeah. And I think so when back in the invitation phase, then at some point pretty early on in the process, that's got to be clear, because a person might be saying yes to something that I'm not saying, that I'm not inviting them to. They're inviting themselves to something else other than what I have in mind. And that's going to end up going south.
Yeah, that's good. So I like that you called it a phase, by the way, because, you know, John, for you, you're such a salesman. I bet you could sell ice to an Eskimo. The invite's a phase. It's not like if you invite someone one time and you don't get a favorable response, you don't necessarily just give up on that person. It might be a series of invitations for two, three, four months, right?
I can't I honestly haven't been doing this long enough to know if that would be the case. And I guess I've run into the problem more where, you know, you get the people that say yes, and maybe they don't really want it. And I've kind of, as I role played with a gentleman who I was doing this with, doing the training with, as I've said, you know, we really began to kind of role play what it would be like to invite people. And we kind of talked about this issue of, you know, you can't really want it more than the other guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we came up with a real simple solution, which was, why don't you just be very direct and ask a guy if they want it, you know, on the front end, and be clear about what you're asking them into. And so instead of saying to somebody, hey, can I disciple you? The question might sound like, hey, are you interested? Are you open to being discipled? Do you want to be discipled? Mm-hmm. And if someone, you know, takes that bait, and yeah, I guess maybe it's a little salesy. By the way, I was terrible at every sales job I ever tried. I'm great on paper, but I'm terrible. I failed miserably. But when you approach it that way, and another thing we would ask people, or we role played, is just asking people, well, just very directly, you know, in different ways.
So Trace, what about for you? Would you use the term disciple? You know, John said, hey, can I disciple you? Is that a term you would even use with some of the women that you're trying to invite?
No, I think for me, I stick with mentoring, depending on the context. If it's women in the church context and they understand what I mean by, you know, can I disciple you? But yeah. For people in the community or friends or people that are kind of just trying to figure out the God thing, I use mentoring more. People understand that in many different areas of life and professional life. There's mentors. That's a word people understand.
Yeah, you know, even in the church context, though, the other side of that is in our church, because we've been doing this, people understand it. But for a lot of Christians, to use the word disciple, they have an idea of what that means that may be really different from what I think it means. Because I don't really want to just spend a lot of time going deeper into doctrine or polishing up their ethics. You know, so a lot of people think of discipling. They don't think about going full circle.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I was just talking with a friend who's using this at his church on the East Coast, and he said the biggest thing he's running into is discipleship. Whenever he uses the word discipleship, he's using it in our understanding of it, right? Helping people go full circle, being a disciple maker. And everyone at his church, they think he's talking about a Bible study program. And so he's struggling with explaining to them, well, hold on, that's not what I'm, I don't want to move you from consuming a pastor's sermon to consuming a Bible study curriculum. I want to move you into being producers. And so he's kind of up against that in his church right now.
Yeah. I would say that also, though, using the word discipleship and knowing that what we've been talking about is true, maybe it's a little fuzzy for a bunch of people, or maybe they have this preconceived idea that it's a Bible study. It allows you to have that conversation in defined terms with them around, you know, what it really looks like, this going full circle, trusting Jesus, living your life to honor God, helping others to trust the Lord. So
yeah, that's good.
I like using that.
All right, I've got one more concept I want to talk about with you guys and unpack before we're done with today's podcast. And it's this, the way I've been defining disciple making now is disciple making is a series of conversations. Now that's a different way to think about it. But if you even look at what Jesus did with his disciples, he didn't bring them through a curriculum. You know, he didn't bring them through a workbook or a DVD series. He walked with them and he talked with them. He shared Ephesians 4:15. He shared the truth in love in the context of a relationship. So kind of the basic definition of discipling is a series of conversations. So that's why our resources are, you know, conversations, right? It's here are thousands of conversations that you can pick from. And as you walk with someone around the circle, you're choosing different conversations to have with them. Okay. So disciple making is a series of conversations. So the last question I want to ask you guys is, how do you know which conversations to pick? Because we're not, you know, our tools aren't, it's not about bringing someone through a curriculum. It's about bringing someone around the circle. So how do you know which conversations to pick in your discipling relationship?
Well, the first thing that I do is I'll just go have coffee or lunch with someone and just, I want to hear their story. You know, like any relationship, I don't just go right to business. You know, I want someone to know before I invite them into relationship, I want to know who they are. I want to know about their life. Because then I'm calculating in my own mind, maybe some topics or where I want to start with them based on what they share. And then what I do in all my relationships is I start with the start pages, which you can find in the main menu on the front page. And I just kind of invite them to look at the start pages and all the options that are there and say, why don't you choose a start page that seems interesting? Do you want to talk about marriage or parenting? Do you want to go to the women's start page? Do you want to talk about addiction? And I kind of let them lead the charge originally to where we'll start.
That's good. I've never thought about using the start pages like that. That's great. Normally I'll pick a start page that I think they'll like, and I'll send the start page to them. But you're saying you let them even pick the start page that they want to go start with.
Yeah. Like one woman I recently started mentoring, you know, she said, she's like, I want to start with emotions. So we went to the emotions start page because she said, I've never been able to express myself. I was raised in a culture where emotion was not allowed. And so for her, that's where she wanted to start. So I wouldn't have guessed that, but that's where she wanted to go. So that's where we started. And I would rather have her be engaged and feel like this is what I want to be learning about right now than for me to choose it and kind of force her to be interested in something.
Yeah,
right.
Good. John, for you recently led someone to faith. With the Pursue God tools. How did you tell us the progression of topics in that particular discipling relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. So started with a gentleman who was seeking, had some of the, I guess, cliche questions, you know, how do I know the Bible's true? I don't know if Jesus really rose from the dead, these kinds of things. So we started with a series, I think it was Investigating 101. And just recently, and we didn't even get through all the topics, and I gave his life to Christ. Praise the Lord. It was just an awesome day. And, you know, I will also say that even though these tools are fantastic, they have really been a game changer in my life. You know, it's not going to go exactly how you think it should go. You know, and there was definitely ups and downs during this time with this person. And, you know, I had to really make sure I was continuing to trust God through it all. But ultimately, he came to faith, and we sat down, and then it really, the dynamic of our relationship changed right there. We went, you know, I went from discipling, making a disciple, right, an unbeliever to a believer, to sitting across the table from a brother. And I looked at him and said, hey, I know you've got a 12-year-old daughter. I've got a 13-year-old daughter. I think there's some topics. In fact, I know there's some topics that are all about how to be a better father to your daughter specifically. Do you have any interest in doing those together? And he looked at me and he's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, so now we're kind of partners in this.
Love it.
Which is another way to ask somebody, by the way, not to back up too much, but another thing that came about through role-playing was to ask somebody by saying, hey, would you be interested in a mentoring partnership partnership with me? So that's something else that came about that works as well.
Love it. So John, did you actually use a topic to help lead that? Because I know some people listening to this podcast, they might be thinking, I wouldn't even know how to lead someone to faith. And did you use a topic for that? Or did you, because you're in ministry, you already knew how to do that?
Well, I mean, I knew the gospel. And so I had always pulled the thread of the gospel through every topic I'd sat down with him and discussed. And honestly, it came to a point in our relationship where I had to have that kind of heart to heart with him, where he had all the head knowledge he needed. And we had, you know, essentially every question he had a reasonable answer for. And he knew, and I had articulated to him that it was really a heart issue. So I, at one point, and I was becoming a little bit discouraged, I sent him a text and said, "Hey, if you are still interested in pursuing a relationship with God, I'm all in. But if you're not, I'm not. Let me know." And that was on a Thursday, and he didn't reply back to me until 10:30 Friday morning and said, "I'm all in. I've given my life to Jesus. You're absolutely right. I want eternal life. I want to repent for my sins. I want this." So wow. It was fantastic. We went to lunch that day and we celebrated. It was so great.
That's really cool to hear. I think it's important for people to hear that because the more Christians that I meet, the more I realize very few Christians have actually ever led someone to faith. And it's just not really a normal thing anymore in the church. And that's what we want to try to turn around with these tools. So Pastor Ross, what would you say if someone is listening to this podcast saying, "Okay, when I'm ready to do that with somebody, what topic or series should I look to start having those types of conversations?"
Yeah, we would go right away. We would go to the foundations series. And then in terms of the start pages, there's really a start page that is about faith. That's going to help lay out some of those basics, the things a person would need to know. So I've got the information right there. I just need to start a conversation with someone like we were talking about before.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think the best series, like you said, foundations is good. That's the three lesson series that explains the circle. But I think what might even be easier is the Faith 101 series, which can be found on that Faith Start page, because that you'll get all the foundations lessons in that series, but you'll also get lessons like getting to your defining moment, and that's the conversation in the library called Getting to Your Defining Moment that has a sinner's prayer on it. So for anyone who's out there listening saying, "I wouldn't know what to say. I'm not sure how I would lead someone to Christ," use that conversation. It's in Faith 101, and that conversation will walk you right through it. Right. And that's what it's intended to do. Cause again, for some people, they're just like, I wouldn't even know what word. Somebody helped me with that when I was a kid or when I was at camp or whatever, but I wouldn't know how to help the next person. So that
exactly.
One series is good for that reason.
Yeah.
So so you're walking someone around the circle. Remember, discipling is a series of conversations. So you're having maybe some life and faith conversations. Eventually they come to faith in Christ, or maybe they're already a believer. And what conversations should you start having when you want to empower them to go make disciples?
Well, that we've set up training 101 is the basic conversation about how to, you know, and so that's the way that you're going to give them the nuts and bolts that they need to be able to begin inviting someone into a mentoring relationship themselves.
Yep, that's right. And so, John, that's what you're doing now, right? With one of your guys that you've been, that you led to faith. Now you're moving him into the training content. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, and I would just also say with the small group leaders as well. We're talking about which videos to start with. And I think the topics to start with are the ones that most clearly paint the picture of what the win is. So then as you go through the training, they know that this isn't about just gaining more knowledge. This is about getting to the place that they're equipped, they're empowered to go out and do it.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, this was great. I think this covered a lot of ground. And so thanks for joining us on this call and helping our podcast listeners to really understand the Pursue God system and tools. So for all of you listening to this, if you want to see this this particular conversation online, it's actually topic number 2 in our Training 101 series. And so check it out at pursuegod.org/train. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you in our next podcast.